Mr. President, let me ask a question about the campaign. Will we be campaigning with the charter and the charter plan?
Sure.
The same way we did.
Yeah.
No.
He's military plan.
Flight to Alaska's political, and that's still.
All right, fine.
I mean, we're very careful.
Yeah, we.
As a matter of fact, I use a 135 instead of a 137 to help our fundraising people, because it's about $500 less an hour.
Well, anyway, so, no, you use the government plane.
I'm just wondering about the trouble we have with the government plane, or had before, is that the 707 can't get into places we need to go.
We want a 727?
We had a 727, which can get in any place that gets.
Why not charter one? It might be a good idea to charter one for you.
I think we might be better off with the charter.
Let me say that the charter has one other advantage.
Good political idea.
It's a good political idea, but also another advantage. Damn it, you got good looking stewardesses to handle the press and other people who are on that plane, rather than you know, the stewards. It's a much better operation. I can't use the damn thing because of communications, but you can use the charter. I think you should use the charter.
Well, I think the 727 can go any place almost a dead start.
It's an excellent idea, and airlines will love it.
And you can rig it for the campaign exactly the way you want.
And have it done now. We'll have to get at it to get it fixed with the, you know, with the front thing. I've actually, they've got one. Oh, I know they've got one. You know, they probably have Humphrey's problem. One of the Democratic candidates dropped off probably.
Humphrey doesn't have a plane that would fly.
DC-3.
One of the things that I particularly emphasize is the what you're talking here is the these people like to hear the positive stories. I used to make an awful lot of points on Eisenhower by saying that I was in the room when the president decided to go into Lebanon, or I was in the room when the president decided to do about 100. And we had some real topics. You can talk about the May 8th, the blockade, and how the bureaucracy wasn't particularly standing up. So, you know, without commenting upon Kavanaugh and others, it's very disgraceful. But this sort of thing is just raised up. And then it won't get played. But sometimes this sort of thing will begin to seep through the public consciousness. But I can't emphasize too strongly, I hope that in every speech you make, no matter what the issue is, spend at least 5 minutes on the foreign policy side. Because that is their great resistance. It's our great advantage, their great weakness, and don't assume that people are going to think. I think it's an awfully good thing, actually, to conclude speeches with. I used to do what I started. I mean, where we had a lot of domestic things to talk about, too, in those days. But, good God, I'm just talking about foreign policy around here. Just Stevens to talk about domestic policy. We beat the living bejesus out of it.
Domestic policy gets to be a laundry list.
Right. On the other hand, I think you can say that in this whole area of reform government, you've been working on that, you've experienced it, and here we have revenue sharing. This Congress has been sitting on its ass and not doing things. I think you could also, and you say it's because people look to the future. And our job is on, we've begun one of the most dramatic changes in foreign policy that the world has ever seen. The chance for the world to be at peace. We'll have no more Vietnams. You know what I mean? Having no compromise with the philosophy of communism, but in the event of recognizing the pragmatic situation and trying to build a world in which people with different philosophies don't have to fight against each other, you know, all that stuff. I think on the domestic front, we also want to remember that here, we have the economy now is moving forward. have to pay a penalty for deserting their country. I think that's a good hot.
I think this attitude that the governor has, and a lot of political commentators follow that, somehow amnesty is a different ballgame after the war is over. It doesn't bring those fellows back to get shot at.
Oh.
Just because the war is over, it doesn't make it easy for everybody's forgiven. I'm not sure of that.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I use Preston to show you how lousy they are. Totally shows it was a classical quote. I said, well, I'll state my position. I mean, pretty directly so that you'll understand. This is in one of his office press conferences maybe 6 months ago. I said, millions of young Americans were drafted. And they had to make a choice. I said, most of them chose to serve their country. And some died who made that choice for their choice. A very few chose to desert their country. Now they can live with their choice. Now, my God, that is the way it's going to be. Either that or if they come back, they're going to go to the can. And I mean, tough as hell on that.
A suggestion that just occurred to me talking about amnesty. I was watching McGovern the night he came down and talked to the Ragtag group in the Doral lobby. And he was asked about amnesty. And he said, I'm for amnesty. He did not qualify.
Not us.
We only have that film because when we state his amnesty position, which he has qualified in his position papers to some extent, we ought to dramatize it by saying, we heard him, the country heard him stand in the lobby of the Doral Hotel facing the demands of demonstrators and say he was for amnesty. Because that's all he said at that point.
Because
that puts it right in
You know what I was going to say? How we handle this situation at one point. Let's talk a little about that. How we handle the situation if he changes position. Obviously, like Chancellor going off and on four different things sticking up, you know, I said I'd be about 10 minutes late this year. Yeah. By four different things, he put up, he'd say, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Reading out of the CIO data.
I don't say I couldn't believe it when he said that.
Right. Well, he did it. You told me about it. He did it twice. Right. He did it once in a sort of early thing, and then he did it in a wrap-up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, what I'm going to say is this. I think we ought to say, I am now quoting from what he just said. Get the Playboy article. Get everything in. And pick that quote where he said, this is very simple. And then the press says, But that isn't his position. I said, well, it's not your responsibility. That's his. If he wants to change his position, he should tell the American people.
But this is what he says.
This is what he said. And don't you think that's what
I think? Absolutely. Yes, sir. And I think where he said it in a contextual, in an environment.
Yeah, when he's being forced.
When we can say, not only repeating the quote, but remind the public of that demonstration of the Doral in connection with repeating.
Use that in a commercial. Use that in a commercial. It's just a phone book.
That would be great.
McGovern on the
issue. We have all our eyes.
Sure.
You've got the clip there.
One question, Mr. President. What time in the morning so that I can brief my press?
Well, it occurred to me that we ought to go at 10. Here, but you think so, Bob?
I give you enough time.
If there's an obstacle,
well, then
at one, so that'd be funny.
Well, maybe we should do it at 11, so that you don't. Otherwise, they'll gang up in front of your place. Which would you prefer? We could do it at 1. See, we'll make all of them.
Do it at 11 and have Ron notify your office as soon as he's done it, so your office could then say the vice president will be available to the press at the airport at 1:00 or 12:45, whatever.
I'd say 12:30. I'd
12:30.
You've got to be there at half hour because you've got to get on the
plane. Well, you better do it an hour and a half. I think you better put it at 10.
Announce it at 10 and say Vice President will comment at 12:30 at the airport. Be available to comment at 12:30 at the airport. And I would try to knock it from the house so that you just.
They never bothered me there somehow. It's about 8 ways out of the place.
What should Ron say? How does he?
Well, I worked on that committee. It should be very simple. Because I want him to make the news, not Ron.
Right.
And tomorrow. That's the event. Roger just announced it.
President's going to recommend to the convention.
Yeah, president has
indicated his intention.
So informed, the president has informed, the vice president has informed Clark Greger, has informed Chairman Dole that he's going to recommend. He informed vice president, Chairman Dole, and Chairman Greger.
You about to put Scott in there, too, because he's a floor leader.
Well, you better mention that. And it's farm Scott Ford, too. I've covered a majority of our leaders. Fair enough. So, you get this.
So, it's
now, with regard to the
recommendation of the
intention to recommend to the convention.
Recommend to the convention. Recommend to the convention a nomination by 7-9 for a second term. And then he says, as the president said in January, he believes that we should not break up a winning team. Maybe that's enough. He wants to characterize something like that. Rather than getting into all the business, well, why? And see, Ron answers questions on this. They're going to say, what about the opposition of Mr. Javits and all that? I don't think he's answering questions. I think this should just be a posting answer. Could you rebound?
Sure do.
The moment he gets out there with questions, he'll have Ron on the air.
He doesn't have to, because it won't be a regular briefing anyway.
That's right, especially. I know, but out one was a note. That's what's done anyway. And you go out, and then it should be no surprise to anybody.
Got to look at it pragmatically, right? And get done.
But they're saying that we have gun legislation. We are still for legislation. The problem is that this particular provision is one that we can't even get out of the House committee. So we're consulting with everybody concerned to see if we can find something that will be effective, that will they will support rather than oppose. And that's really what it is. But I so that Pat will get off saying he's done a fine job, and there's just a misunderstanding with regard to the thing. That he may be right about the Senate. One other thing, which I said that the other point, I need to do something that I can't. I'd like for you, who's up there at the House, up there as Congress, I start having in on a regular basis members of the Senate and the members of the House, two members of the House. I think we should do that. You should hold sort of a, and I just talk to political, sort of talk about their problems, their districts, their states, and so forth and so on and so on. Because as the political year gets on, they'll want to talk to somebody. I can't do it. I've got to stay here and so forth. And you can be up there to hear their beefs and so forth. I wouldn't limit it to the just to my friends. You can't do a hell of a lot of so-called Wednesday group, but I'd see some of them. I mean, after all, they're going to pipe down now that it's done. But I think it would be extremely valuable for you to have a pot of review and just chat. So you'd like to talk about politics, say what are the issues, what should we be emphasizing, what should we be talking about. Incidentally, among the issues, of course, that we want to ream hard, needless to say, is busing. God damn, every time we have busing,
people will stick it out.